And tonight's meeting is the October 5th meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee. And we will start by a Pledge of Allegiance. And Fawn already has the flag. So if people care to rise, you don't need to. Peter, you stay put. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Peter, I hope you get well.
Thank you, sir.
Had a chance to review the minutes I just reviewed the minutes from September, but on the agenda it says August. Do we need to do both?
No, it's the August 31st meeting was the September meeting of the committee.
Yes, of course. Thank you. So have folks had a chance to review? And if so, could I hear a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the September minutes from the August 31st.
Great. Thank you.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor of approving the minutes of August 31st, 2020? Please signify by raising your hand and or saying aye.
Aye.
All right. Minutes are unanimously approved. Oh, just to check, does anybody what's the other word for not approve?
Oh.
Opposed. Thank you. Okay. Hearing no opposition, the minutes are approved. And Evelyn, you said you would like to, before Amanda gives her Department of Environment budget presentation, you had an introduction you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, thanks, Manna. Just a couple words of context and a couple things to highlight. The first is that you'll see in the budget an increase in the department head's salary. Which is unusual this year. Of course, in our current budget situation, we have been very, very sparing with salary increases. But Pat asked me several weeks ago to make sure that Amanda got a raise and also to take care of bringing the titles of the department head and the deputy department head in line with the titles in our other departments. So you'll see a resolution from us for November to make the change from coordinator to director. I don't know exactly the history behind all that, if there was some thinking that this was, that the environment department wasn't going to grow into a full-fledged department like others. I know there was thinking that it was going to be a coordinating department really working with other departments, which of course it does. But by now we know that this is a full-fledged department. It's grown to be larger than several of our other departments at this point, and clearly has a lot of good work to do. So in view of that, and just in view of the incredible leadership that Amanda has shown this year, Pat asked me to get that alignment made and to adjust her salary. So we gauged it within the salaries of other departments of similar size and slotted it in there. So wanted to just highlight that thinking for you rather than putting Amanda in the awkward position of explaining it. The other thing I just want to highlight for you is that you'll see that the compliance officer position has not been included. You know that we had hired a composting expert to fill half of that position, and she unfortunately started, I think, the second week of COVID and really gamely tried to participate in the department's activities then remotely, but really determined that she was not able, given her childcare and other responsibilities in her life, to continue. And we had planned to fill the other half of that position with an energy expert and work on our business outreach. But with the hiring freeze, we've basically lost both of those halves, and we decided not to include them this year because we thought that it's unlikely, given all the other critical needs around the county staffing-wise, that those would rise to the top. So Amanda can give you some updates on how they're doing with the composting work. I think she's finding that the existing staff is working through setting up the systems and the educational work, not the way we would have with Michelle on staff, but certainly well enough. And she's on the lookout for state funding to bring that position back when that funding becomes available again. So I'll let Amanda take over from here.
Thanks, Evelyn. Always appreciate it. And I think, I know some of you have been around since I'm thinking of Tracy in particular, Laura, since the days when this was just an idea, right, of how to think about doing kind of environmental services at the county level differently. And I'm really proud of the work we've done over the last 12 years and really grown this to show that we can not only do it well, but really lead the state and, find a lot of funding to do a lot of good projects in the meantime. So I think the recognition of that kind of shift in how we operate within the county is really tremendous. And I thank you all for your support of the Department of the Environment over the years. And I thank the executive for recognizing that as well. And I can give Mana a little kind of synopsis of our kind of program areas and how that kind of plays out in the budget this year. And then I'm happy to entertain questions from the committee if that is an appropriate way, if that sounds good to you.
Yeah, please.
Yes, okay. So I know in your packets, you have a kind of an org chart and also kind of the budget highlights, the mission and the vision, along with kind of the lines for the budget. When we kind of orient ourselves to, when I orient myself to the department's budget, I think mainly in five program areas. And I'm going to just go through each one of them and share a few key highlights from the budget as applied to those. The first program area is the implementation of the County Climate Action Plan. And that's a document you should all be pretty familiar with. Reach for my copy over here just to remind you what it looks like. It's this. This is the really our go-to guidebook for implementation of all of our renewable energy and energy savings measures in county government operations. That is the implementation of the Climate Action Plan. It's important to remember that it's not only an initiative of the county executive through executive orders and the Green New Deal, but the legislature has also supported that via resolution, that's a priority to the legislative body as well. So we, through the operating budget, we have some things like money that goes towards carbon credits and RECs that support our climate action plan. But in particular, the three capital projects that were included are directly related to implementation of the climate action plan. So those are continued support of the EV charging station network, the solar, which you voted on last month, which was the UCAT solar PV system installation, which again is a part of the greater transit electrification project. And the last one is the lighting retrofit for the social services half of the building on Ulster Ave, the Ulster Ave complex. That is the only and the last place of county office space that has not been retrofitted to LED lights. LED lighting tends to be one of the fastest payback energy efficiency measures. We weren't able to reach it with grants that we had to do our initial lighting retrofit, which all came from Central Hudson. We're looking at how to best leverage the grant money, the utility money that does exist, but to do that project, because even with county dollars, we believe it will have a quick payback. And it will also do a lot to, I think, improve employee comfort in that building. I don't know if folks are familiar too much with walking through DSS, but it is certainly someplace where the employees could benefit from just a better work environment. So that's kind of, we're continuing to work with implementing the climate action plan, but those are the main key steps in the budget that we'll be taking. The second program area is climate resilience. We continue to do two projects related to climate resilience. This is non-mandated work. However, it's work that we've been able to receive grant funding. The completion of our culvert assessment grant this year is, we consider that climate resilience work, but through next year we are working on a climate resilience plan for county government, and then we will be working with towns, and that is a DEC funded effort. So some of the state aid that you see in the budget, and particularly the state aid that's kind of mentioned in the preamble here, under the county executive's budget as potentially being susceptible to the 20% reduction, that is that money for the climate resilience grant. I'm not particularly concerned with that money being clawed back because it's already under grant contract. It's not state aid that is just kind of formulaically given to the county. It's already under contract, and what I've been told by the state is that would be several kind of layers down as far as the ease at which they could kind of reach back for some of that money.
Amanda, may I just ask a quick question?
Sure.
I'm very clear on what the culverts are. County resilience and working with the municipalities within the county on resilience. Can you just say a little more about what that means?
Sure. It's building out. So culverts are one very defined part of kind of infrastructure, but we want to look at road networks as well as culverts, and then also buildings. Buildings can be more susceptible to snow load or heat. So there's certain things about climate change that we want to look at resilience of buildings as well. So we're going to be looking at both transportation and built structures as far as resilience to climate change.
Thank you.
The third area is water quality. The Department of the Environment is involved with leading the county's Water Quality Coordinating Committee, as well as implementing the MS4 stormwater program. And those are state and local requirements, or the Water Quality Committee is supported through a resolution through the legislature. So we'll be continuing work on that, but that's mainly, any kind of money is in the budget is pretty small. It has to do with just making sure we're training staff on MS4, that maybe we bring in a trainer for the DPW staff, things like that. There aren't significant expenditures related to that. The fourth area is our west of Hudson flood planning work that we do. So this has to do with supporting municipalities in flood mitigation and flood response planning in the City of New York drinking water supply watershed. So that's, you know, the DEP watershed, town of Shandaken, western half of Woodstock, Olive, Denning, Hardenburg. We have a full-time staff person who's funded through a five-year agreement, who does that work. That agreement is the $124,000 of, I think it's like local revenue that shows up in our budget. That agreement funds all of his salary, his and his fringe, as well as 10% of my salary and fringe. So it's a very good contract for us to maintain. And it's a really good way of having that interaction with the municipalities over those issues. And the last area is materials management. So this is where we're working to support various initiatives, the straw law, compost law, zero waste, those types of initiatives, and meeting the requirements of those local laws, as well as finishing up the last kind of pieces on a DEC compost grant that we've been managing. We have found so far with the, you know, this is a big change in this budget as far as it doesn't have a staff person devoted to it. However, what we're finding right now is partnering with the health department kind of on the enforcement side that I think we're, and with UCRA on education and outreach, we're going to be able to guide those businesses through this next year as they become regulated under the compost law. And I think, again, it's we have some great staff here, including Europa McGovern, who has a lot of, she came to us with a real wealth of skills, but among those are interacting with municipalities around various organics diversion initiatives. So she's well-suited to do that work, really enthusiastic for it. And we're hoping that when perhaps someday again, when we see an announcement for grants from the state, when that time comes back to us, that we'll be in a really good position to go after funding to support more of those initiatives. So that's a very high level overview of the budget. And I'm happy to have discussion or answer any questions.
Can you
I'm not going to call on people. That's somebody else's
job. Hi, Amanda. It's Peter. Hi. Quick question. Can you just give us a little update on the Climate Smart application?
The Climate Smart application? We will be applying to the state to be recertified as a climate, a silver level Climate Smart community in the spring of 2021. So we are just in the process now of starting to pull together that documentation, but also in between now and the spring, looking for opportunities or initiatives that would bolster our application. We're moving ahead with that. That's definitely a high priority for us.
That's great. Thank you.
I just want to add to that, and then Legislator Bartels, is that the Climate Smart Committee is working really closely with the Department of Environment this year and, you know, through that certification program and all of, and Europa is also helping with that. And all of the, almost all the municipalities in the county are participating at some level. They're not all yet climate smart communities or going for certification. We'll talk more about that under old business, but just that it's a real partnership, a very active partnership at this point, so that there will be things that can help with this silver certification that come out of the Climate Smart Committee, because we're working together. Anyway, Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. I'm sure I'll have more specific questions, Amanda, once I have a chance to really delve into the budget. But I want to begin by saying I think it's high time that your title change to be on part. We've talked about this, and I regret that I didn't put in the resolution before. You absolutely deserve that title change. And while it's symbolic, you've done amazing work for this county. And I always question why it was called what it is. And I also am happy to hear that, especially in this time of budget crisis, that we're able to get your salary on par with other department heads. Again, I feel like I don't know how it's been allowed to go on so long. So I'm grateful to see both of those things happening in the budget. I actually have a question. It's not exactly a budget question, but it's something you touched on in terms of the culverts. And I just want to put it out there, even for a later discussion. And that's, I mean, coming at the culvert discussion instead of from a public works angle, but I know you intersect them all because of MS4. Is there any discussion about the environmental impact of all these culverts and expediting sort of toxic and runoff that has all kinds of contaminants, mm-hmm. expediting that runoff into a water system that ends up in our waterways? I just think it's so counterintuitive. And I've had these conversations a little bit with Dennis and a little bit with Public Works from the Public Works angle, from the angle of undermining the road base and the angle of safety to the public, which I have in my district, there have been multiple accidents where bicyclists or pedestrians have been run off the road into culverts and or cars running off the road into culverts, particularly in the winter. And I'm sorry to be on a tangent, but I always say, and I am going to do it now that it's autumn, there is a place, it's not in my district anymore. It used to be in my district, but it is in Ulster County where I know I'm not very tall, but I can stand in the culvert and my head does not reach the road top and there is no barrier. It's just, it's craziness because after all these years, they're dug out. So I know that I keep being told that this is best practice, but I'm not buying it. So I feel like we have to start having this conversation.
I'm going to jump in because I can really dork out on culverts too. I really do like it a lot. But I'll try to keep this brief for the interest.
Thank you.
What we're doing right now, what we got funded to do by the New England Interstate Water Pollution Control Commission, is to pilot a multidisciplinary assessment protocol that includes looking at the sediment transport of the culvert, as well as the aquatic passage, and doing a modified DOT structural assessment of the culvert. So it's these three different assessment protocols kind of put together. It had been developed by DEP funded staff for the Ashokan watershed, and we got this money to bring it outside of the watershed. So we're building these relationships with DEC and training them in this protocol and kind of building it from there. So the thought is, I don't think it's going to be able to address all the types of problems that you were just talking about. But the thought is that we're taking this great resource and kind of knowledge base that's been developed with millions of dollars by the city of New York, and we're bringing it to other places, and we're trying to get more people trained in this. So that is one of the intents of this, is to look at sediment transport and also these hazards. For the area that we're working in so far, we've also assessed all the town road stream crossings for three municipalities, and we're producing a road stream crossing management plan with them with photos and all the documentation for the culverts. We had a great field crew going this summer with the staff person from Cornell Cooperative, again, using some grant funding so they can hire someone. And I want to do more of that because I think the towns are so grateful for this. I wish we could figure out some way to do it with shared service money or something. They've never had a complete inventory with photos and all this assessment documentation. They can have it on a map It comes on the computer and they can just click on the points and they can look at every one of the culverts and all the ranking and assessment that we did. So I'll stop there, but I'm going to write it down.
Yeah, and I just want to say, if I can, that you know, the county's really lucky to have you, and I'm happy to hear that you're someone who could dork out on this too, because I think we need to be coming at this from a lot of perspectives, different perspectives, versus just it's the way that we do business, which I have to say also is I've been in Ulster County 25 years, but the culvert started within my time in Ulster County. You know, I mean, there were occasional culverts, but the mass culvert work started within the last 25 years. So I'm happy to know that we're working on it and we're looking at it from a different angle. Thank you. And thank you for all that you do.
Anyone else? I have a couple things. One is, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I know Europa well and how much she can accomplish in terms of the compliance officer and energy expert. I am particularly concerned that for 2 years in a row, we've put in a budget amendment, and for 2 years in a row, that has not been honored. This is more, I think, for the Economic Development Department, my concern, than for Department of Energy. But especially now, as we build back, we want to build back better. And this is absolutely the time. It's consistent with the county executive's New Green Deal. And if it's not, if there's not a position in the Department of Energy, which, you know, I really believe they will do their share, I am not as convinced that it is yet a priority in economic development. And I know that at Clearwater, we're all doing a lot more with less, and certainly less staff and less other resources. And I would imagine that most people on this call are in a similar position of doing more with less. And it's to some extent where you put your attention. But this is a critical time in terms of climate change for our businesses to be looking at the low-hanging fruit, taking advantage of it, whether it be insulation or a heat pump or a solar system or, you know, a dozen other things, including waste management, et cetera. But they're going to be struggling to keep their businesses alive, and to be able to have some direct help. The idea was 3 days a week, there would be someone to work with the businesses to, achieve climate solutions and savings for them. And then those savings can ideally be reinvested in the next step. So I, you know, Evelyn and I have talked about this several times, but I want to talk about it in front of the whole committee. I hope we don't have to do another budget amendment. If we do, I hope it's honored. And I'm keenly aware of the, of our financial circumstances, but I wanted to just bring that up.
Mana, if I could just quickly reply, you know, I fully agree with you, and we just felt like, given the hard choices that were being made about staffing all across the county, we couldn't justify breaking the hiring freeze for this, and we couldn't justify putting that position above, you know, critical needs in other departments too. You know that the Ulster 2040 report came out last week, and one of the four priority clusters that we've identified is energy and climate protection. And I've been talking with Tim Wiedemann about how we're going to make investments in that cluster next year. And we want to try to do, indeed, just what you're saying, to do some of that work out of economic development, which I agree with you is where that belongs. And, you know, when we were talking about originally filling the half of the compliance officer position, it was about really, you know, sharing, you know, that position being in Amanda's department, but really sitting with economic development. And we're going to try to figure out how to do that work this year. I would fill that position if I could. And we just didn't feel like we could put it ahead of many of the other needs in the queue.
I think what I'm saying is that with existing staff, when they're sitting down with a business to help them, I'm just picking something out of the air. There's probably a better example. Write or redevelop their business plan, that they have the information in front of them and can include that in the communication, or at least, you know, offer. I'm not convinced that it takes another staff person. I think it takes awareness and commitment. And, you know, every single day I have to adjust my workload. And, we've been, with regard to solid waste, which Amanda, I hope you'll stay on the phone because we have a direct question just as we get into that, not necessarily for the whole conversation, but about the secret. For example, one of the UCRA board members is saying with regard to the zero waste implementation plan, well, we could do it when we review it in 2 years, because they need to review their plan every 2 years. Climate change isn't waiting 2 years. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I've just done two mentorings of Al Gore's Climate Reality, and it's really bad, folks. And in terms of priorities, you know, getting our businesses to be part of the solution, just we've got to fit it in. And I feel like we have to fit it in this year. So I'll get off my soapbox, but it really is urgent. Anything else on the budget? So we don't have to be here all night. Okay. The next is three resolutions, and typically we take our resolutions one at a time, but these, as I said before, these are all interrelated, and they're interrelated in part, not in total, around a problem that arose regarding the fact that the agency hadn't done CECRA, and now we were being asked to approve the local solid waste management plan, and needed to do, it was determined we needed to do CECRA for that, to take that action. And then the agency took a similar action. The other resolution other than CECRA is the zero waste implementation plan. Amanda, I just wondered if there was anything, since you, in a sense, really alerted us to the fact, and then Attorney Gordon checked with DEC Legal that we needed to do CECRA. I just wondered if you, and I know you have years of experience, if you have any comments on particularly the most recent action taken by the UCRA with regard to declaring themselves lead agency and completing an environmental assessment form prior to a coordinated review. And we're asking primarily because of your knowledge about SECR and if you wanted to speak to that at all.
I think ultimately that's a discussion for legislative council and the county attorney at some level here. But I certainly have never seen anything of that ilk done ever for solid waste or not solid waste. So.
I'll just say I know that Clint was trying to connect with Dave and the other legislative council to talk about this. I don't know if you all have had a chance to connect on it yet.
Well, I think at this point, I should say that a confidential memo was sent to me and Attorney Gordon and I went back and forth a little bit on it, tweaking it here and there. And then it was sent to the committee. Fawn has let us know that if we discuss that memo, it will no longer be confidential. I think it should be public. Attorney Gordon basically created the memo. Do you have any concerns about us discussing not the details of the memo, but the basic alternatives that came out of that discussion?
Well, two things. First of all, we have to discuss the alternatives. That's what's before the committee and before the legislature. We have to make some decisions in real time because we have 30 days from the date that the notice of intent to be lead agency was transmitted to us. Secondly, in general, the confidentiality is yours. It's really a question of how you feel about this. My advice to you becoming disseminated, you have the privilege. I am, the way it works, I'm bound to not disclose it, but you can if you so desire. The only sensitivity is that, in the memo, and we can either do this here or not or go into an executive session, is there is some sensitivity to the questions of legality and the possibility of an Article 78, which at this point would only be against the RRA. I can certainly try to avoid those specific comments. And for the most part, the decisions that we have to make are not based on strict legality. It's really the legislature has to evaluate what its own position is with respect to A, seeker details, and B, the importance of a quality seeker review, how you feel about it in this instance with the solid waste management plan. So that's sort of my short answer to your question is we can discuss things, we can avoid the most sensitive issues, and ultimately the confidentiality is yours, so I can go either way on it.
If we need to go into executive session, if the committee needs to flesh any of that out, we can do so. But without doing that, can you summarize? First of all, let me ask if all of the committee members have had a chance to read the memo and feel comfortable that they understand the ins and outs of SECR as it applies to this situation. Because if you have any questions about that, that would be first. And then to review the alternatives, discuss amongst ourselves what action we're going to recommend to the legislature to take, and then we'll, actually vote on what to do about each of the resolutions that are before us. So let's start with any questions folks may have about the CEQA process as, well, any questions you may have about the CEQA process?
I got a question. I guess I'm curious how it works out. Dave probably can help me out here with two entities looking to be the lead agency, how that works out.
Al, I had a little trouble hearing you. I think you asked how it works out if two entities want to be lead agency. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. The memo describes this, and also I can briefly tell you now, that's not, it's not the most usual situation. Usually, if there's a number of involved agencies, they pretty much know which one's the natural lead. But it does sometimes happen, and there's a very specific procedure for it. And you need to understand that the letter that we receive can go in either of two, we can go in either of two directions on it. We can either agree that the RRA is the lead, or we can disagree. And if you disagree, it's, you know, that happens. Again, it's not the most usual situation, but there's nothing out of bounds about it. What happens is, if you disagree with each other as to which one's going to be the lead, you're basically supposed to sit down and figure out among yourselves and negotiate it. If you can't decide among yourselves with whatever, you know, procedural safeguards you build in order to allow the other one to be lead or whatever, then the procedure is that the dispute goes to the DEC commissioner. And again, this is, again, it's not the most usual thing, but there's certainly nothing extra legal about it. It's right. It's a part of the process which is there for us if we decide to make use of it.
And Dave, how long does this extend the process as far as time frame?
Not much. It doesn't happen that often, so I can't tell you how long the DEC would take to make that decision. I would guess it would be done within 2 or 3 months, but I don't know. We probably all have to write, you know, letters or briefs to the DEC to explain why we're thinking what we're thinking, and then ultimately he'd make his decision probably in a couple of months. I want to emphasize, though, that if we were to decide to contest the lead agency status, it doesn't necessarily have to go there. We'd have a meeting with them and sit down and try to hack through what the concerns are. And this is a very, this is a case where we can definitely do that, because the RRA is the natural lead agency here. The problem is that they've made a bunch of errors that the legislature could either take seriously or decide to let pass. And if we decide that we're going to contest this because they've made these errors, the ask would be to clean them up. And so that's essentially the structure of the argument. The answer is it could take a couple of months, but that's a couple of months that would happen if the RRA and we just butt heads over this even more than we have now. And that would be unfortunate, but if people can't agree, that's what happens. Hopefully we will. Hopefully we'll get past it. So far, they have not seen fit. The errors that they've made up to this point have been pointed out to them along the way. And unfortunately, they haven't been really that responsive. Some of the things that they did in the last month were sort of seen, I think they did it to try to correct their errors, but it actually just made them worse. And I'll go into the details on that if you want, but
no, but
it's up to you guys to figure out how seriously you feel about it.
All right. Well, thank you.
I guess my question would be is, what's your confidence, given the fact that they've made these errors, that they would be error-free moving forward if they stepped in as lead agency?
Peter, exactly. When I first wrote the memo, let's put it this way. My observations on that question were much more explicit, and I took them out because, I took them out. That's a very fair question. At this point, the RRA, in my view, has not created a lot of confidence that they're really cognizant of all their CEQA responsibilities. At the same time, referring back to my answer to Al's question, if we were to sit down and just get them to square away certain things in order to let them be lead agency that were very specific, you know, that'd be a hard thing to mess up. They ought to just do it. But going forward, you know, there's a cultural difference here. They, in my view, kind of think seeker is a detail at this point. And that's why they did a negative declaration on this. It was very premature, and it didn't appear to have a lot of analysis behind it. And, you know, the legislature may want to take the seeker process more seriously. I would hope that the RRA would, but you guys actually have to make, that's your judgment to determine what level of confidence you have that they would take the review more seriously if that's what you want them to do.
Well, I want to just mention one more thing, which I think is connected to the question I just asked. We as a committee went back and were very pointed about the zero waste question. And I know Mana Jo, we've had many conversations about this. And I still feel like it has not been resolved from the RRA side. And so that just gives me pause that, you know, we had very specific direct questions and that didn't get resolved. So it just adds again to my sense of just uncertainty.
Yeah. When I wrote the memo, if you recall, one of the last things I said was, you basically have, I broke it down to three choices for the legislature. You can acquiesce in the RRA's proposal to the lead agency. And by the way, that still gives you approval authority over the project. You don't lose your authority in, you know, under the law that you have for the project because somebody else is the lead agency. You lose your seeker authority, but you can still, you know, do whatever you want to do in terms of, you know, the first resolution on your agenda, which is whether or not to approve the plan. And so you can vindicate your concerns, not necessarily through seeker. If you want, you can just do it there. What I'm saying is, number one, you can sort of agree to let them be lead agency, accept the negative declaration that's already been written prematurely. Number two, you can just say, no, you guys, we don't, you know, we want to be lead agency now. If we have to bring this all the way up to the DEC commission, that's what we're going to do. But we think that we're, you know, we ought to be in the driver's seat on the seeker review. But the third one is to say, is to object, but to object for specific reasons. As in, just for an example, we're objecting because, A, you've done a premature negative declaration. We want you to rescind it and then can do a much more careful seeker review with a hard look. And, B, we especially want you to take a hard look at the zero waste issues and the implications of not having fully incorporated those. So my concept was, you can just flat out ask for that in your rejection, and hopefully the process of negotiation, the ultimate outcome of it, if people are, you know, reasonable, I think would be for the RRA to ultimately get lead agency status, and they would agree to do the things that we're asking them to do, to rescind the neg deck, reconsider it, do a hard look, and take a especially hard look at the zero waste issues. That is sort of a middle ground. But the answer is, you guys can make whatever inference you want from that. Again, I don't think that those inferences are wrong. I didn't want to express them openly in a black and white memo because I didn't think that was necessarily the most helpful thing toward a positive negotiation.
Thank you.
We are going to have to respond. So I think we need to first decide, you know, which of those alternatives, unless somebody has another idea, we as a committee want to recommend. And then something does have to be written. And I would expect that that you and Chris Ragucci and the other county attorney and the county attorney and the other legislative attorney would draft something. I'd like to get clarity on the process, given that we have to decide what we're going to do with these three resolutions. We have to bring something to the rest of the legislature that reflects that decision. I want to just say one other thing before we try to craft that, if people are ready to do that. And that is that, just to remind folks that attorney Chris Ragucci had a conversation with the agency's attorney prior to the special meeting that was called for them to take lead agency status. They discussed all of these alternatives and concerns, the actions that were premature and the remedies for that. And the agency's attorney assured Attorney Ragucci that he understood and would counsel the agency based on their conversation, and that didn't happen. I don't want to speak for Chris, but I did speak with him after that meeting, and he was, I'm going to be polite and say, very surprised, but he was more than surprised and disappointed that that didn't happen. My hope is that if we take the third alternative and we're really clear with the agency, a coordinated review is when everyone works together. And that's what we've been trying to achieve with the zero waste plan. We now have, for better or worse, legal leverage to essentially require or be, you know, say what we would consent to the agency taking lead agency status under these conditions, and be, and the conditions are fair conditions, nothing new that we haven't been asking for. And, you know, I don't like to resort to that. I wish we could have established a collaborative working relationship, both about the secret process and about, creating a united zero waste implementation plan. So far that hasn't happened. So, you know, my own personal recommendation would be to create a response that details those particular concerns and any others. Legislator Petit.
Thank you. And thank you for all the work that you've put into the CECRA memo. You know, initially I thought that they should be lead agency with the CECRA process, but up until the night that we discussed bringing a CECRA resolution, or we put one in, the RRA was not interested. They thought that they had followed, you know, all the rules that they were supposed to be following. And then they went ahead at this meeting where, you know, our attorney, Chris Ragucci, had spoken to them in advance. And he, I think he called it steamrolling, but they just pushed it through. Not only did they appoint themselves lead agency, but they also put in a negative declaration. So it's they keep forcing this through. Prior to that, they had held zero waitings where they produced a resolution saying they were just going to continue doing what they were doing because they were already doing waste diversion. Today, I spoke at their public hearing. I was disappointed that they hadn't put funding in for waste diversion. They had a kind of, you know, the Cadillac vision of putting in an education office, and they've been talking about a town drop-off center, I'm sorry, not town, residential drop-off center, which would be a perfect zero-waste park. And I was concerned about them not expanding the composting site in the area where they purchased the property, but they're putting it, they're expanding where it is right now. It's just, there's no upgrades. There just doesn't seem to be any commitment to waste diversion, even if you don't want to call it zero waste. And just arguments about what they're doing and why they can't. And, you know, it's a good thing we bought the property because now it would be twice as much. So I don't know if I have enough confidence in them to actually accurately do the secret process. That, and I don't believe we even have a representative from the RRA on this meeting tonight. I mean, they are supposed to make monthly reports to the committee, and there's no representation now. So I've just lost. I mean, it was kind of hovering anyway, but I just don't have a lot of faith that they're going to be doing the right thing for Ulster County. I mean, this planning is for Ulster County. It's not RRA planning. And they really need to follow the vision of Ulster County, which would seriously help with our climate smart and resilience, as well as just the solid waste problem.
Anybody? Tracy? Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. I mean, this is so, so problematic on so many levels. You know, I really struggle to try to think this through. I feel I echo a lot of the concerns that both Peter and Laura raised, legislators Criswell and Petit. But I also, at its most basic level, the fact that it's just what happened in terms of declaring themselves lead and then passing an egg deck without actually taking a hard look in the same meeting, I feel like I would be shirking my duty as a legislator with knowledge of the secret process, and I'm by no means an expert, but allowing it to go. What would that say about what we, the legislature, think of CEQA? Like, what would it, how would it would reflect on us in terms of setting a precedent? And I don't mean a legal precedent. I just mean that we're willing to just say, okay, that's, you know, for something that's so critically important, this plan, to Legislator Petit's point, is a vision for the county as a whole. It's a critical, it's not just a document, it's a critical plan that's going to decide what direction we're headed in. And I think over the years, those of us who have been working on it, and we've brought in even people who wouldn't traditionally be working on it, have come really to the understanding that this is a looming problem, not just in terms of the environmental issues, but we are facing a looming crisis that if we do not act aggressively, we're going to find ourselves in an environmental and a fiscal crisis down the road. So I think there's a lot hinging on it, but I just at the very most basic level have a hard time, and I don't know which direction to go, but have a hard time saying, oh, okay, we all know that this is completely deficient, that there was no hard look. And believe me, I mean, I've made the mistake. Council Gordon can speak to it. You know, we spent years, legislator Warro and I spent years on the plastic bag legislation, on the polystyrene legislation, trying to get people on board. And then, you know, at the 11th hour realized, well, we need to do a secret review. And then we had to quick put a secret review together. And then almost the same thing happened with the plastic bag ban, because it's not something always that's on the front of my mind. It's not something that I always come at this from. In fact, I said, we should paint a giant sign and put it in the legislative offices that says CEQA, so that anytime any piece of legislation comes up, we look at the sign and say, hey, did we do that? So I appreciate that Amanda brought it up to us, and then it was verified that it had to be done. And everyone on this call in this virtual room knows it wasn't done. There was no hard look. So I just think we have to do something. The problem is I don't think it's going to be received. No matter which tact we take, I don't think it's going to be received in a collaborative manner. I don't imagine that they're going to say, oh, okay, well, thanks for pointing that out, and let's work together on this now. I don't see that happening just based on the way that this decision went down. And I also want to say that I do agree with what Legislator Petit said and some of the very basic point that was in the memo, that it's logical that the RRA would have been the lead agency on this. It's just, there's serious, it's beyond, to say it's a serious deficiency doesn't cover it. So I'm sorry to go on, but I think this is I kind of think it's just a mess, really.
I agree completely.
I, I have a process question. Can we respond within 30 days by saying we would like a real coordinated review in order to agree to lead agency standard status? We would like a coordinated review, a commitment to the zero waste plan, rescind and reapply, because in fact that is the fastest way for them to get an approved plan. And if not, we disagree about lead agent. Can we do an alternative A or alternative B in our response?
Here's what I would say, but first, before I answer, I want to give a different impression of a point that you've now made twice. A coordinated review does not necessarily mean the agencies are cooperating with each other. They should, but that's not what it means. A coordinated review means that if you don't do a coordinated review, then if, let's say, three agencies have approval over a particular process, a particular, even if, suppose it's a subdivision, and you got the town planning board and the town ZBA and the DEC for a wetlands permit. You've got three agencies. If you don't do a coordinated review, every agency's got to do a secret review. It's a mechanism for one agency to do the secret review for everybody so that then they can go ahead and give their variance without doing it. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the agencies all cooperate. That's up to the lead agency. It's really a designation of lead agency to do it for everybody. So, but having said that, your question really gets to exactly what my sort of middle alternative was, but I want to put it in a little perspective. Usually when you write a letter in response to a lead agency designation, you don't go through a lot of whereases and details and conditions, because usually you haven't had a process before that. Usually it's the beginning of the process. So you can't say, I want you to correct this and straighten. It doesn't usually happen. Usually it's like, we want to do it or we're agreeing you to do it. That's pretty much what you say. And the way the law works, the way it's structured, you either object or they get it. That's basically the way you write with it. Because again, it's typically pretty simple. It's an up or down, me or you. And the way the format works is if you don't object, they're the lead agency. If you do object, then that starts the process of getting together and working out your differences. So I would advise that if the path you choose is the one that I sort of labeled as the third option or the one that you just laid out, Nana, I would advise objecting. We object, and we're objecting because of these problems that we've seen in your review so far. We would like to get together and work out a mechanism to get past this. And I know that that's more negative than you would like. I know you'd like to express it, you know, if we were just starting from scratch, you would express it, you know, more equivocally. But the law requires you either object or you don't. And if you don't, they get it. So if your goal is to have further negotiations, you'd frame it in terms of an objection. And again, although it's not standard, I would say, and here's why, so let's work it out. That would be the way I would suggest framing it. And here's why, we can fill that in with the things that we are concerned about. From a process perspective, the number one process problem is that they did an egg back already that they're essentially asking you to sign on to. The second process problem is that, as Legislator Bartel said, they probably didn't do a very hard look, and you may want to just say, we need you to do a hard look. And then thirdly, on the substance, which is what a lot of the committee is concerned about, you'd want to say something about zero waste. You'd want them to look at the impact of the lack of a zero waste implementation plan and come up with something on that end. I would, however, also add that the zero waste plan you can get also on your approval, which doesn't go away under any circumstances, and you may want to, you can put a condition down there as well. So that would be my way of
Legislator Criswell.
Can a lead agency be removed from being a lead agency?
Yeah, upon a lawsuit, yes.
It has to go that far. Like, there's not something we could bake into the requirements saying that, you know, we will review after X amount of time to see if it's working well with you as lead agency kind of thing?
No. We are writing a letter to either object to them being lead agency or to approve. And like I said, I would add, if you want, to put in your objections, but ultimately you've either got to negotiate it out, or this is ultimately a blue or red, to choose maybe two bad colors, the black or white, up or down, who gets a lead agency. The only purpose of this process is to choose a lead agency. It's not like if you don't do it right, we're going to come back later on and try to take it back. There's no taking it back. But this is so important. Once you either approve of them or once they get it, that's it. And they have complete discretion to do a neg deck at that point. If they do a neg deck after that you don't like, your only answer is to sue them on the seeker, or you could just go ahead with your own approval and do what you want in terms of your own jurisdiction on your approval.
So David, if we don't agree, does this ultimately end up in a judge? I mean, who finally?
Again, if you don't agree, the obvious first step, which is completely authorized by the regulations, is to sit down and work out your differences. Everybody wants involved agencies that don't agree on the lead to work out their differences. And if you need to have further procedures to do that, you want to, make sure that they include you, make sure that they wait till you submit your comments or something like that. Nobody wants this to go to the commissioner. I mean,
no, we don't.
Two county agencies fighting over who's going to be the lead on this that's up to you guys if you want to go that far, but it's not the sort of thing that really anybody looks forward to in terms of efficient government. But you can work in procedures that you're going to ask them to agree to.
Well, nobody looks forward to it, David. I agree with you that. But I'm saying is that if we come to a stalemate, we're to the point where we don't have the confidence in the RRA to be the lead agency, and they don't have the confidence in us, somebody's got to make a final decision. Does that lie?
It's DEC commissioner, and both agencies would have a lot of cards in their pocket. They're the natural lead in our pocket. They've made some seeker procedural determinations that are mind-boggling, that nobody's ever. For those who haven't read the memo or forgot it, I'll just lay it out very clearly. A typical procedure here, according to the law, would be for an agency such as the RRA to declare themselves lead agency, circulate a notice. Ultimately, after 30 days, they would be lead agency, assuming everybody agrees. Then they would consider a declaration of significance. They would do it, maybe a neg deck, let's say. Negative declaration, there's no significant adverse impacts. Then after the neg deck, all of the agencies, including the RRA, would be free to issue their approvals. So it's lead agency, neg deck, approval. They did an approval in June.
Right.
Then they issued their neg deck in September. And if this process goes through, they get to be lead agency in October. The exact opposite. It shows, in my view, and to get back to Peter's original question, just an utter lack of understanding of what they ought to be doing. It's almost like they've got these procedures and they're all jumbled and they don't really know which ones. So they're sort of picking as they come along, or they're trying to get out in front of our objections. But that's the situation. And if you go to the DEC commissioner with that, I mean, I can't imagine they'd want to do that. Let's put it that way.
I have another procedural question, but I'll acknowledge Legislator Bartels first. Mine's about timeline. Go ahead.
Thank you. I think that one of the interesting things as well is that if the timeline that David just laid out, the correct protocol had been followed, it's not that this would have had to take so long, or that we still wouldn't have approval over the plan itself. If we weren't satisfied with the plan, we could still say, even following a neg deck, right, we could still say, we don't approve of this plan because it's lacking X, Y, and Z. The right problem I'm having is that it's plain black and white clear that they have not followed a proper protocol, period. Exactly. I mean, that's just clear as day. And the only way that we have to get them to actually just go through all those X, Y's, and Z's, which again, I've been in that situation. Legislator Waro's been in that situation. As a legislature, we've been in that situation multiple times where we've had to pull back resolutions, rescind resolutions, go through, do the hard look. It's not like it took years. It's just we had to do the hard look, come up with the documents, give the backstory, et cetera, and then pass the resolution the following month or the 2 months later or whatever time it took. The matter of fact is if we say, okay, we acknowledge that this is a problem, but we're not going to say anything about it, then we're complicit. And the only way to say something about it is, I mean, based on what I'm, the most effective way to say something about it is to say, we contest you're taking lead agency. And then we have a conversation and say, we're contesting because you didn't do any of this right at all. It's all backwards. So, I mean, I think that there's the two different things. Procedurally, and I don't know if this was going to be your, Manna, you said you had a timeline question, but procedurally, if we were to write this letter of objection or actually object, I'm curious who actually does that. Is it the chair of the legislature? Like, how does that functionally happen? And if it is the chair of the legislature, does it have to go through a vote? Like, we get notices of intent of lead agency all the time. And I don't recall from other municipalities, et cetera, I don't recall us always voting on affirming a notice. I guess that's because we just let it go and our lack of action is an affirmation, but I'm not sure about that. So that's one of the things that I'm concerned and confused about.
Go ahead, Dave.
I think Tracy, the answer to your question is, you only have to write if you're going to object. If you don't want to object, many agencies acquiesce in writing because it lets the process go through quicker, but you don't have to. And if you miss it, it's only a total of 30 days. If we don't do anything, they become lead agency 30 days from when they sent it to us. So that's probably what you usually do. If we want to object, then it's a question of whether the legislature is the involved agency, so the legislature has to take action. Now, the question is, how do we do that? The most obvious thing is for the legislature to resolve to write this letter and then for it to come from either David, the chair, or his designee. That does raise some procedural problems for us, and I've begun to think about those, and I have a partial solution, but we do need to get to the rest of the problems, which I can describe. But the answer is the most obvious thing here, and there may be other ways to do it, is for the legislature to resolve as a whole to take this step, and then for the chair or his designee to do it. You guys might know better than me, but that's basically the most obvious thing. The legislature's got to object.
Peter?
Yes, I just wanted to actually go back to something that Legislator Petit said and that you also seconded, Manna Jo. I feel like the public needs to clearly understand why we're doing this and that this is not a nitpicky intergovernmental fight that's going on, but we're trying to do something for the good of the county. And I think that has to be really clear in the language that we use so that we're showing that it's a higher good, it's a higher level that we're playing on, and it's not a street fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do, and I want to ask if it seems to me that if there were, I'll call on you in a moment, Legislator Petit, I'm sorry. If there is consensus that because of the issues and what has transpired versus the collaborative approach that we're seeking, if we did object, would it need to be a late resolution to do it within 30 days, because we would not be, and to have the entire legislature weigh in, or is there an alternative to meet the 30-day timeline? And Legislator Petit, does your question relate to that? Because
it was a a secret question, but I mean, if we're doing the zero waste implementation plan, should this be included in this secret process as well, or should we wait until everything's been a separate resolution?
If you have a ZWIP ready, I mean, the way CEQA works, there's a concept called segmentation, which is that if there are issues that are related to each other and really under the same plan, they really ought to be considered together. You're not supposed to break them apart, because then you can be accumulating environmental impacts that you don't necessarily take seriously as individuals, but when they come together, you should. The problem is you don't have to do it. In fact, you can't do it if you don't have if one project is ready to go and the other project is still not a well-formed plan, then you can't do it. And there's no rule that says you've got to wait for another 6 months or a year until you get that second plan ready. You could, you know, you're allowed to quote unquote segment if they're in different situations like that. So I would say in this case, I think we're still working out the kinks of the ZWIP, and we'll probably get it next time. But it is reasonable to look at the current solid waste management plan with the lack of a ZWIP and perhaps make a secret determination on that as to whether or not there is, you know, a potential environmental impact from the fact that there's no ZWIP in it. And you could even say you need to do one, or we're confident that you will do it. I mean, neg decks are very often open-ended documents. They will say this is not a huge impact because the lead agency has committed to do this or that. There are things like that you can do, Laura. But I wouldn't necessarily hold up the secret process on this because you don't have a ZWRP, because that means you're holding up the overall approval.
Manager O?
Yes.
Just procedurally, if you did a late resolution, I believe the 30 days runs out on the 15th, so I don't think you have time for a resolution. Yeah. I was talking to Vicky. I was texting Vicky during this conversation to see what tools we had at our disposal. I'm not sure we might be able to do a memorializing letter if we've got a majority of legislators to sign on to it. Objecting. I just don't know. If maybe Dave and Chris have discussed what our options are.
So was this plan then? I mean, because they got their intention to us fairly late. So did they plan it so we couldn't?
I think it was calling in a second, Dave. But I think what they did was, knowing that we were about to vote in September, they called a special meeting and made themselves, or gave notice that they were seeking lead agency status. I don't think that there was a 30-day planning involved in that. We are stuck because of our calendar. They did it as soon as they could because of September. The September deadline.
Didn't we get notified after?
We got the official, but their meeting was called so that we knew there were two competing resolutions in September. And then, I see what you're saying. They didn't immediately send it over. They held it.
No, they didn't notify us.
Okay.
No.
All right. Dave?
Well, actually, if they had held it longer, we would have been in better shape. First of all, I'll give you the rough timeline. We were considering the resolution to declare ourselves lead agency starting in late August and leading up to the September 15th session. I think it was on September 8th that Tim DeGraff, the acting executive director, emailed us and said that they were going to do their own resolution to be lead agency, basically between the lines telling us to not do ours. It had already passed the committee, and it was due to be approved on September 15th. We got the letter from Tim on September 8th telling us that they were going to step forward, and they had a special meeting called on September 10th, which was 2 days after that, but still 5 days before our session. On September 10th, they did pass their resolution to be lead agency and the neg deck, both in the same special meeting. They called a special meeting to do this. According to the letter of intent to be lead agency was dated September 16th, but according to Nettie, mm-hmm. It was actually sent out on September 18th and received by us on September 22nd. The later would be better because we have to respond within 30 days. And I think our session in October is the 20th. It's in essence, the problem is going to occur here. We have two problems procedurally. One is the lack of a resolution. And I have a thought on that, which I'll run by the committee in a moment. And the second problem is trying to get the whole thing done within 30 days, which if you take a look at their September 18th submittal to us, would be October 18th. And where our session is after that. The first problem, which is the question of the resolution itself, we have a resolution before the committee tonight to declare ourselves lead agency. That's the one that was sent back to us from the legislature because of what the RRA did. One of the thoughts that I had would be to amend that resolution. And instead of declaring, all the same whereases basically, but instead of declaring ourselves lead agency, we would instead amend it to resolve to right to object to their lead agency declaration. And I've drafted that. I drafted that today in red line, which if I could figure out how this works, I could maybe send to you guys in real time. So you could have a red line right now with a draft amendment to essentially object to their lead agency declaration and point out the errors.
That can you forward it to Fawn so she can share it?
I know I could email it. I don't know how to send it here. I've got my flash drive attached. You guys don't know what to do. I just don't know the technology. If you want to give me 5 minutes, I can email it to at least to Fawn.
You email it to me, I can share the screen. I just share it on my screen.
What?
I can share it on my screen if you email it to me, or right. I can you share it on your screen if you know how.
If I comment on this, I'll take a minute and do that. So that may solve the question of how do we get a resolution. As to how to get the legislature to act so we can get a letter out by October 18th, I don't know the answer to that. We may need a special session. You guys know better than I do what the legislature would do in a situation like that. But it seems to me that it comes down to a special session. Anyway, let me jump in. I'll try to email that out to you guys if you're interested in it. Tracy might know.
Yeah, I just want to say procedurally, I think we need to have a conversation. We need to get Chris Rigucci in this conversation on the procedure. And we probably, to Evelyn's earlier point, need to also speak with the county attorney because we should just confirm that there isn't another way. But certainly a special meeting would work. And could be called at any time, but you have to have the will to do that. And you have to have the support of the body to move the resolution.
I'm a little concerned that it's a leap to modify our lead agency status resolution by objecting to theirs. Wondering legally if, although I have seen resolutions, amendments, mm-hmm. I guess we've all seen amendments that are as comprehensive or, sort of change the nature. And it's not our fault that we're dealing with this. So, but that's another reason I think to confer. It looks to me like we're going to need to have another meeting before session because we have to gather more information in this complicated situation. Yes, Dave.
I just wanted to ask Fawn very quickly. Fawn, if you can you confirm for me your email address? I think I can shoot this out to you if I hear it.
F as in Frank, T-A-N at co.ulster.ny.us.
That's F-T-A-N at co.ulster.ny.us, right?
Sure, FTAN
yep.
at co.ulster.ny.us.
Okay, I'm sending right now.
Let me ask, I particularly want to check with Legislator Warrow to see if you have any questions or comments, and then see if there is a consensus among the committee while Attorney Gordon sending that over.
Maybe you could just clarify stuff because I got bumped off for quite a while.
The thought now, we discussed several possibilities. One would be to object for various, I think, very substantiated reasons to the agency's lead agency status, the next step of which would be under seeker, that we be in communication. If we couldn't resolve it, it would go to the DEC commissioner. But there's a catch 22 in the sense that we had 30 days from September 18th, and our session is not until October 18th.
20th, I think.
October 20th. In other words, we don't have time to, even with a late resolution, we don't have time to object, even if that's what we as a committee decided was the best action. So what Attorney Gordon is suggesting is that we revise the existing notice of intent to be lead agency for the legislature to be lead agency. As he says, the whereases would be pretty much unchanged, but there would be additional information about what has happened. And we would modify this in committee, and then it would be, or in a special meeting, if we have time between now and session, we would modify this, and then the legislature could act on this. There is a question about whether or not the chairman could respond as chairman without a vote of the legislature. At this point, let's see what the suggestions for the additional whereas and the change in the resolved. Do you want to read those? Dave, if you pull it up and hold it still.
You want me to read it out loud?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Just the red line whereas.
At the end of all the other whereases, which explain the background to the solid waste management plan, et cetera, I'm adding these whereases. Whereas the agency, meaning the RRA, had resolved on September 10th, 2020, to issue a negative declaration under CECRA for the Ulster County Local Solid Waste Management Plan, and further to declare its intent to be lead agency and to circulate a notice of intent to be lead agency. And whereas the agency transmitted a notice of intent to be lead agency to the legislature, and whereas it is not consistent with seeker to circulate a notice of intent to be lead agency after issuing a negative declaration. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Ulster County Legislature will respond to the agency's notice of intent to be lead agency for the Ulster County Local Solid Waste Management Plan by opposing the agency's intent to be lead agency unless the agency rescinds its negative declaration and moves its adoption. I probably should have added a clause authorizing the chair to write a letter saying that, but you guys could do that now if you want. But that's essentially the language I put in to to amend the resolution to allow us to move forward by opposing theirs instead of by establishing our own lead agency.
I think if you can check with the other legislative attorneys and the county attorney, the county attorney's office, just be sure that this is a viable route. And if, of course, the committee agrees, it might be the most appropriate action. So, Mary, are you feeling sort of caught up enough to process that, or do you want to hear from others first?
Kind of. I'd like to hear from others first, if you don't mind. Thank you.
Okay.
Mana, I would like to, or Dave Gordon, I would like to see dates in here. You do have September 10th for the RRA, but they didn't transmit the notice until September 18th, or it was received September 18th, even though it was dated on the 16th. I would just like to see the history in here.
I was going to say that's when we received the paper copy. We did receive it electronically before that.
Oh, you did? Okay. All right. I would still like to see some dates on there.
Well, my understanding from speaking to Nettie, it was dated September 16th, their letter. My understanding from Nettie is that it was sent out by certified mail on the 18th. The legislature received it on the 22nd, and then it was actually circulated because I don't know if Nettie was in the office that day, but it was scanned and circulated on the 23rd. So I would credit their sending it out by certified mail on the 18th. But if you guys have
that on the 18th
in your office, I would definitely like to know that for clarity.
And Fawn is saying it was received electronically on the 18th as well.
Was it?
Okay.
So I agree with Laura, you know, just a sentence, a whereas about the timeline.
Yeah.
But I'm still having a hard time. Okay, because it's an amendment. I think we would need to meet one more time to we can't pass something tonight and say as developed by the various attorneys. We actually have to have that in front of us. So it seems to me that it could be a very quick meeting and it could be right before or after, you know, another meeting that's already scheduled. But I'm afraid if we're going to do an amendment and it's not complete, unless we do a partial amendment and then amend the rest on the floor. But Mary, does anyone else want to weigh in on this as an alternative?
Could I I'd also like to see that, I mean, since there are procedural issues, basically their resolution to become lead agency is defective. Whatever the legal term would be for that. But, you know, because they issued the negative declaration and then they transmitted a notice of intent, you know, we're hereby determining that their resolution to declare lead agency is defective, legally defective. Can we do that, Dave?
Well,
it does say that that it was out of order, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's two different tacks on it, one of which I took and one of which legislator that Laura's suggesting. One way to look at it is that we don't like what you did, and therefore we're going to object to it in the format that they in the in the procedure that they provided. We're going to take their notice of intent to be lead at face value and respond to it. If we're going to try to declare it defective, and we could just then do our own lead agency, but I wouldn't recommend that. I mean, we're not the judge here. So we may believe that it's defective, but until some court nullifies it, it is what it is. So I would suggest treating it as a real thing and then using the procedure that's before us, which is to object within the procedure. I'm not cite the fact that we don't think that it's valid. I come very close to that by saying it's not consistent with seeker. And I mean, I try to do as clean as possible without making as few judgments as possible in this resolution, because we're already amending it. We could say more, but point is, it's not a good process, and therefore we're objecting.
It looks on the calendar like Thursday there's an audit meeting at 4:00, so we probably could meet Thursday around 6:30 if you want to schedule another meeting.
What's the date on that, Fawn? The 8th? I have 2 meetings on the 8th at the same time. I can't do 3. Thank God for Zoom.
Can we do it before the audit?
We probably could. I don't see anything on the calendar.
What time did you say?
Would that help, Laura, if we did it earlier?
As long as it's before 4:30, I have a 4:30 and a 6:15.
So, I mean, we've talked about it for an hour tonight. I don't know if you think an hour is long enough to do it. If we started it at 2:30, we could be over. We'd have to be done by 3. We'd have to be done by 4.
That's not, none of that's possible for me. I work at 3:30.
I would think we would have a problem too.
I have the kids, yeah.
Is there another opportunity before session?
This is a bad time of year for me.
It's hard for me to look at the different calendars to see what's been scheduled already. I'm trying to look at 3 different calendars. All right.
Why don't you do that? I want to go back and look at where we are with the 3 resolutions that we're going to have to act on, even if it means postponing or tabling. So let's just take a look at that while Fawn is trying to sort out a potential special meeting date. One is approving the solid waste plan. I assume we're going to continue to postpone that. The other is establishing a zero waste implementation plan. I would like to take a minute and have some discussion just to refresh everybody's memory on that, because it's the third one that we're deciding to act on. And that is that the Recycling Oversight Committee, with input from quite a few other departments and related agencies, has created a document. And that document also had input from the attorneys. We would like to create a collaborative process so that the legislature isn't creating a zero waste implementation plan, much of which, not all of which, but much of which will be the agency's responsibility to implement, because if it is seen as sort of forced upon them, even if it is a legally established plan, it is just far less likely to get implemented. There'll continue to be a struggle about implementation rather than cooperation. And if Ulster County is going to be a model of waste diversion, it's going to take the branches of government and the somewhat autonomous agency. And, you know, so far, in many ways, we are working together well around food waste composting, which, by the way, you know, I'm going to have secret tattooed across my forehead because it took Amanda to remind us on, even after Tracy's experience, to do secret. But, I, you know, the zero waste plan, I think, needs a collaborative process. There's some, most of what's in there, I'm very, personally, I agree with. There's some things that I would like to have a forum to discuss that I think if they stay in there, they can be at the far end of implementation. But the main thing is that the county's local solid waste plan has many pages. I documented it in the notice that was sent to you. I actually, that the memo that Dave Gordon, I put in exactly how many pages and which pages in the local solid waste plan give details about implementation. Right now, you know, we don't have a zero waste plan that is parallel so that it can be an addendum and can be implemented and we know what we're doing in each year from year one to year 10. That can be modified, but at least we have a real plan for waste diversion. And I feel very strongly that we shouldn't force that upon them, but we can't seem to get them to work with us. So that's the dilemma around establishing a zero waste implementation plan. And the third is what we'll be discussing in a moment or at a subsequent meeting. Is there anything else people want? Yes, Laura, please.
Well, I'll just comment because I got a couple of folks have said that they haven't had a chance to look at the red line version by council. That is the original document from April. Councillor Dave Gordon had taken a look at it. So, you know, that was the final draft. So it's not new. I did go back and I compared it and looked at it. I did find some typos where we made changes and but anyway, that's just cleaning up the text. So that is not a document that was different than the one submitted for the September committee.
Okay, great. And between now and our next emergency, or not emergency, but special meeting, maybe Fawn can recirculate that red line version. Tracy?
Thank you. I want to first say that Legislator Petit has done a tremendous amount of work on this, and I want to thank her for that. Taking the lead on it is no small feat, and given the urgency, it's a huge undertaking. So I want to begin by acknowledging that. We spoke briefly now months ago, and one of the things that I really wanted to see, and I have some of the same concerns about the collaborative effort and the fact that this isn't something that we can push down the agency's throat. We really need them to buy in. And as I've said before, among other things that caused me disappointment in this whole process, because I think we were working so well together in terms of our work on the local solid waste management plan. And then as this issue started to come up and a member of the agency, you know, basically said, well, you know, we're not going to do that. And it's all but attacked the legislature. And then following that, we had the the fact that the agency failed to act even in a symbolic measure, which to me says a lot, because the board could have passed the equivalent of a memorializing resolution saying that they, you know, they acknowledge the need for this and they commit to doing it. That we were looking for some measure of commitment, and not, and absent even a symbolic measure, I am worried about how we have that collaborative discussion, because absent the discussion, it has to be something that's amended or included in the plan that's passed. I mean, and I think that's something that Legislator Petit has talked about, that it's just, it has to be in writing in the plan, which was part of the rush to get it done. What I really want to see, and I fully acknowledge that I haven't been able to do the actual work to give Legislator Petit more specific comments yet, other than the general comment that I'd like to see more both actionable items and metrics that are measurable in the plan. And it came a long way to that, but I think we can be even more forceful versus it, it being something that's, in some places, I think if we drill down on the things that we can and must achieve, and we set specific goals with specific markers over time, that's what ultimately needs to be adopted. So in terms of the timeline, I don't know how quickly we move on this. I think that, you know, we have these three separate resolutions, and just, I'm sorry to back up for a second, but in terms of the local solid waste management plan, I know that different legislators outside of this committee might have different mindsets about passing that, but I frankly don't see how we could pass a local solid waste management plan when we're all acknowledging that there's a failure in the secret process that's required. So, you know, we're in kind of a, like, that one, it has to be postponed. It's no longer about postponing to make sure that it includes something we all on this committee, I know I'm not on the committee, but I'm with you in spirit, that on this committee that we all agree needs to be there, which is a more firm and specific and demonstrated commitment to working towards zero waste. So we were having that conversation, but now it's the first thing is the procedural problem. So I think the local solid waste management plan, we have no choice but to postpone until we figure out the seeker issue and get that solved. And again, while there may be members of the agency, and I don't want to speak for them, but I've heard secondhand that think that all of this is just a delay tactic. And that could not be further from the truth, as described by the chair of the committee. Council spoke with their council, and there was an expectation that it was just going to run a smooth process. And then the procedural failures are just too big to overlook in my mind. So, I know I've touched on all three resolutions now, but I feel like we've gone, Legislator Petit's done an amazing job getting us so much of the way, but I think we all need to make a commitment to help actually give specific comment to that and focus actionable items and really drill it down to be a living document that will be a guide for actually getting a zero waste. Legislator Petit's given us more than the skeleton of that. We have something to work with now. So I think we have to make that happen. And that's now on us. And I understand, like, on all of us, not just all of us on the committee, but reaching out in bringing in the community, however we do that. And that's something the committee can collaborate, come up with a process for. But I think that, I don't want to speak for Legislator Petit, but I think that it's going to now need further involvement. Like, you can't, it's at that point where we got to start giving feedback. We got to start making the changes necessary, given all the work that she's done thus far.
And I apologize, looking at the calendar, I may have missed. Did someone move these resolutions for discussion?
Not yet.
Okay.
That's the next step. But I think agreed earlier in the call that we needed to have our discussion and then just boom, 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 go through the resolutions because they were so interrelated. Did you find a possible date?
Well, there are several other meetings scheduled already for next week. Of course, Monday is a holiday. There's a Tuesday is your caucus. So I assume the same problem is for meeting during the day on any of these days. On the 14th, there's a special joint meeting of Public Works and Capital Projects and the Ways and Means. It starts at 6. I don't know if you want to try to squeeze something in at 5 o'clock, but it can't be a very long meeting.
And I don't think it will need to be after tonight.
And then on the 15th, we have a special meeting of law enforcement followed up by the Republican caucus. So the 13th and the 15th don't work. The 14th, we try to do it at 5. I just don't know if Laura and Legislator Bruno and Legislator Wuerow can get there at 5 o'clock.
The 14th, I can't do it at all.
Okay, well.
Can everybody else make
it? I have a special town meeting. I can't make 14th at all.
Can everybody else make the 8th? Because that's a Ulster County Community Action board meeting, but it starts at 4:30, so I could excuse myself.
Like the 8th, somebody said the 8th. I'm okay on the 8th.
The 8th, we could until probably 6 o'clock or 6:30.
Yeah, that's just this coming Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm okay on the 8th.
I could do that.
And if I want to just like kind of ditto everything that Tracy said, that Legislator Bartel said. Laura, thank you so much for all the work you've done. I mean, you really deserve kudos for the amount of work you've put in.
Thanks. There's a lot more to be done, though. I really look forward to working with everyone, making this a great document that the rest of New York will adopt.
Absolutely. And also, Legislator Bartel, if I can say it, spot on.
Vaughn, I'm in a city commission meeting. 6 p.m. on the 8th. So I could join something after 6 p.m., but I'm committed from 4:30 to 6.
All right. So it looks like 6:30 might work for everyone.
That would work for me.
Yes.
All right. I'll see if I just have to double check that there's not something that's on a calendar I can't see. I can't look at the Zoom calendar during the Zoom meeting. That's my last calendar. But I will try it for 6:30 on the 8th.
That works.
And that means that between now and then, the attorneys need to get in gear and come up with hopefully final language or close to that, and that we could then consider. And you'll take care of whatever public notice needs to happen and so forth. Yes. Okay. So at this point, I think we could, fairly easily, I have to find my agenda here. Nope. It's here somewhere. At this point, I think we can go through and take appropriate actions on each of the resolutions, and I just have a couple other very quick reminders so that we can move forward.
You want to take them at the block?
Take them at the block? In other words, to either table or postpone all three right now, the last of which we will reconsider at the special meeting.
I'll make the motion to block it.
Okay.
242
265
and 23.
23. We're going to
block the three resolutions.
I'll second.
Legislator Petit. All in favor of blocking?
Aye.
Please indicate by raising your hand. Oh, my camera went off. Sorry about that.
It's a great thing
to happen. I think I legally should be seen and heard. But where'd it go? Here it is. Okay. I can, my camera's back on.
Okay.
And do I hear a motion to put, we block them. Do I hear a motion to postpone?
I make that motion.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Legislator Bruno, seconded by Legislator Warrell. All in favor of postponing the blocked resolutions?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Okay. And before we adjourn, I'll just knock off a couple other really quick things, and then we will reconvene on Thursday at Thursday the 8th at 6:30 for a special meeting to resolve the lead agency status resolution. So I just want to remind folks that we, I believe we have a memorializing resolution on the rights of nature as a an amendment to the New York State Charter. And I think we all agreed on that, and that was drafted. I just want to be sure that it is ready and we can sign it and we can encourage our colleagues to sign it. Fawn, do you recall, is that...
Is it a memorializing letter you're talking about?
Yes, if I said resolution, I misspoke.
I believe there's one. I don't know that it's been circulated yet. So
okay. I thought it was.
I'll have to double check.
Okay, so I'm just bringing that back on the table. And then the only other thing I have to report on the Climate Smart Committee is that we're cooking with steam. Most of the municipalities in Ulster County are participating. There are a lot of new people. And I think, as I said before, they're along the continuum of, you know, the county's going for silver. A lot of the municipalities are either have bronze certification under the state DEC Climate Smart Committee, which means they've taken a series of actions. And then there are quite a few that are either appointing or recently appointed their Climate Smart Committee and are starting into the process. So we are also breaking up into subcommittees to work on, for example, a regenerative agriculture forum. And there will be a forum. We had a speaker on green concrete. And in November, they are already organizing a much more detailed forum, which I'll be sure that our Public Works Department knows about. They had expressed interest because it's a little bit complicated, but I believe we do have the slides from the 5-minute presentation that outline the key points, and we can circulate that. But municipalities do a lot of, you know, Public Works uses a lot of concrete, and apparently concrete, different ways of making or mixing concrete can reduce the greenhouse gas impacts and emissions, and also can over time actually be a way of sequestering greenhouse gases. That's a very top of the head description, but we want to be looking at every possible way, not just zero waste, you know, not just energy efficiency and renewable energy generation, but the folks who have most studied this, Project Drawdown, say that we have to implement all the climate solutions given the rate at which climate change is moving forward. I am having a hard time seeing who legislator DA is. I apologize. At the bottom of my screen.
Hi, legislator Dave Gordon.
With that, I think we're complete. Let me ask if anybody else has anything else. Sorry that we're going through such a tedious process, but that goes along with the territory. Sometimes legal matters are tedious, and we're trying to do the right thing. And the one thing I wish that the RRA, if they listen to this tape, I wish they would understand is that we're not trying to slow this down. If they had taken any of, you know, the letters from the Solid Waste Planning Commission and, you know, various efforts at outreach, toward a collaborative process, and even taken the legal conversation more seriously about CEGRA, things would be moving more quickly. I just hope that we can explain to our colleagues that in no way are we slowing down the process. And the sooner the agency start paying attention to these things, the sooner we can expedite the process. So with that, if there's no further business, I would like to call for a motion to adjourn.
I so moved.
Tracy, you waved your hand. Is that a good night wave, or did you want to say something? Oh, okay. And do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Awesome. All in favor of adjourning and reconvening on Thursday the 8th at 6:30.
Aye.
Please signify by raising your hand and or saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. And thank you, Evelyn, for sticking it out.
Thanks. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.